Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
Nobody said buying a home is easy, especially in Boston. Just ask Cecilia Dixon of Mattapan.
It's just been crazy, especially going like to the open houses. It would be a bunch of people. And it's like, it's just so insane. I didn't realize how bad it was.
And for people of color like Dixon, there are often additional challenges on the path to home ownership. A WBUR analysis finds lenders denied mortgages for Black borrowers at 3 times the rate of white borrowers. This in a city that already has a significant home ownership gap. Experts say this inequality will likely get worse if nothing is done. So WBUR's Zeninjor Enwemeka and Adrian Ma take a look at some potential solutions.
When you think about it, house hunting in Boston is kind of like one of those reality TV dating shows, you know, like The Bachelor. There's the first meeting where you and a dozen other contestants are circling the object of your desire. You fall in love, make a proposal, and then more likely than not, you get rejected.
Wait, actually, that's not exactly how it works. Technically, the bachelor is the one who proposes. But I think I get what you're saying. These dating shows involve a lot of hope and drama and plenty of heartbreak.
Right. And this is the sort of emotional gauntlet Cecilia Dixon stepped into last year. She found this 2-family home for sale in Dorchester. It checked all the right boxes, you know, like a floor she could rent out, enough space for her and her dad, and an upstairs that would be perfect for her daughter and her grandson.
It's set up like a 1-bedroom apartment, the in-law suite. So she has everything that she needs. So she wouldn't have to bother us. She has her separate space.
You sure you don't want to rephrase that?
Yeah. So she'd have her separate space.
She put in an offer, held her breath, and lost out to another buyer. This cycle repeated 5 more times.
After I got out bid on that last home, it really disheartened me. And I really prayed really hard and said, you know, God, my desire is I want to buy a home in Boston.
She was pretty close to giving up. But then, a couple weeks later,
my agent had called me to say, hey, guess what? You won't believe this. Guess what? That first home you put a bid on, whoever they gave it to fell through. Their financing fell through. They want to know, are you still interested in purchasing a house? I was like, yeah, of course.
It took 6 years of saving, working 2 jobs, and her prayers were answered.
That sounds like good house hunting advice. Like, if you haven't found the place yet, just like, maybe you just aren't praying enough.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Yeah, pray more, because, you need a lot of patience and prayer in this market.
So Dixon got the home. But when you look at the numbers, it's clear she beat the odds. According to the city, the home ownership rate for white residents in Boston is 44%, but it's 30% for Black residents and just 17% for Hispanic residents.
And believe it or not, this gap has actually widened in Boston in the half century since Congress passed the Fair Housing Act. That made it illegal to discriminate against homebuyers or renters based on race and other factors. So, what's being done to bridge this gap?
Well, it's just like any market. There's a supply side and a demand side. Let's start with the demand side, people who want to buy homes. One group working on that piece is the Neighborhood Assistance Corporation of America, or NACA. They basically try to fill in all the potholes along the rocky road to getting a mortgage, particularly for low and moderate income folks.
So anyway, this is where we do the counseling.
Bruce Marks is executive director here. He shows us around their Roxbury headquarters, and guess who he's video chatting with?
Hey, Cece, hey. I'm good. So you're finally coming through the program, eh?
Cece is Cecilia Dixon, and Marks just popped in during one of her home buyer counseling sessions. NACA has been helping her through this process for a few years now.
And they're about to hook her up with a loan, but not just any loan.
So it's no down payment. It's no closing costs. Bank pays all the closing costs. And it's always at a below market fixed rate.
Usually 1% lower than the market rate. And that is possible because NACA worked with financial institutions to craft this type of loan. And this gives lenders a chance to reach customers they normally wouldn't.
Yeah, NACA typically works with people who are the first in their family to own a home. And they don't have a lot of family wealth and can't just go to the bank of mom and dad. Many don't have great credit either.
We say, forget the credit score, because it's not an accurate reflection of whether someone's ready for home ownership. Throw that out and go back to character-based lending. That's when you look at people's overall circumstances.
So NACA factors in criteria that other lenders might not, like whether a person consistently pays their rent or cell phone bill on time. Mark says this makes a huge difference for folks who've traditionally been locked out of the housing market. Over 90% of NACA's clients are people of color.
Mark says over the past decade, NACA has serviced about 300,000 mortgages nationwide and had just 41 foreclosures.
So, for most people, it works out.
And hopefully, that'll include Cecilia Dixon.
This is like a pretty big house.
Yes, it's good space. And it's, like I said, it's a Victorian.
She's all moved into that cheery blue house she bought in Dorchester.
Just looking at the house, I'm just so excited. I can't wait to be here. Can't wait to start our new chapter of having a home. And I'm seeing, you know, I think in like birthday parties, little cookouts here. It's just, I'm just excited to see like how everything's gonna come together. But I feel really happy about being able to get to this point.
So, homebuyer education, more affordable loans, and down payment assistance, those are some of the ways of getting at the racial homeownership gap from the demand side.
Yeah, but remember, there's another side to the racial homeownership gap. Supply. A huge part of the problem here is there just isn't enough housing in Boston. Some organizations are trying to change that, one empty lot at a time.
We are here in Magnolia Street, here in Roxbury.
Renee Mardones is with the Dudley Street Neighborhood Initiative.
Basically, this is going to be the site where we're going to be creating 4 units of affordable housing.
This land is owned by a community trust. So Roxbury residents decide what gets developed here. The plan right now is to sell the homes they build for below market rate.
A lot of families, you know, like have been moving out of the community and new families moving in. You can see, you know, if you walk around the neighborhood, new building, new condominiums are coming up. But the question is, how many of those units are affordable for people of color?
It's a really good question to ask. When WBUR analyzed mortgage loans in Boston from 2015 to 2020, we found even in neighborhoods where people of color are the majority, white residents received a disproportionate share of the loans. Here in Roxbury, white people made up just 13% of the population, but received 34% of the loans. And we found similar disparities in Mattapan, Hyde Park, East Boston, and Dorchester.
Of course, disparities on this scale can't be tackled by grassroots organizations alone. There are a bunch of efforts at the city and state levels to get at both sides of this supply-demand housing equation. Things like grants for first-time homebuyers, taxes on developers, and incentives to build affordable housing.
But experts we interview say that's not enough.
I don't think they can be fixed until we have a serious conversation about generational wealth, reparations.
I'm thinking about guaranteed income projects, children's savings accounts.
Do regular every 3-month audits of the lending institutions.
Provide incentives, but frankly also provide mandates for lending institutions to lend more broadly and more fairly.
We need to continue to fight for more equitable zoning policies so that developers can build more housing.
Yeah, so just do that.
Right.
By the way, that was Sarah Philbrick, formerly of the Metropolitan Area Planning Council, Tom Shapiro and Tatiana Meshida from Brandeis, and Rushmi D.L. Shand and Barry Bluestone from Northeastern.
You know, the ideas they shared are just a sample of some of the solutions people are thinking about when it comes to the homeownership gap. And they kind of underscore just how complex this problem is.
I mean, it makes you wonder if this can be fixed.
So I actually brought this up in a conversation with Crystal Cornegay. She heads up Mass Housing. That's an organization that supports affordable housing around the state.
Do you think that these issues can actually be fixed?
Yeah, of course they can be fixed. You know why? Because they are man-made problems. Right? And so, yeah, a man made them and a man can fix them. And I don't mean that, you know, I mean that man or woman, but, you know, these are problems that we created as a society. And so we can solve them as a society.
This story was reported by WBUR's Zeninjor Enwemeka and Adrian Ma. Sarab Dattar did the data analysis. For more about home lending in Boston, visit WBUR.org.